We're ready.
Now I'm ready. I'll just make sure I'm projecting so you guys can hear me good. So welcome. We are going to talk about kind of hormonal type women's health things. I'll have a question and answer time at the end. So if I don't talk about something you'd like to hear or have a question, then we'll answer that at the end. Okay. I believe all of you know me, Dr. Brian Walsh. I'm a chiropractor and nutrition guy. And this is my 21st year in practice now. It's hard to believe it's gone by that fast. But when it comes to women's health type issues, there's a lot of stuff that comes into play. And unfortunately, from like a medical standpoint, they usually don't approach it in enough different directions. They tend to be very focused in the way they look at things. A lot of times they're just looking at hormones and nothing else, which is important to look at, and we'll talk about that. But there's many different factors that come into play here, especially nowadays with all of the way the foods have changed and diet has changed and all those things. So I'll kind of talk about some of the different focal things like associated with PMS and menopause and those kind of things. But it's really going to be applying to the whole picture of how women should function and heal and feel as they get older. There's this myth that, especially a while ago, where menopause was looked at like almost a disease state, right? Where you had to take these hormones and do these different things because you're in menopause and it's a horrible thing. But it really is a natural part of aging, right? It's just another phase that a woman's body goes through in particular. But it doesn't have to be traumatic and it doesn't have to be prolonged. What can happen many times is I have some women come in and they've been in menopause for 10 years with terrible symptoms. And that usually has to do with their whole hormonal system being out of balance for several reasons that I'll talk about. And then on the other side, there's this whole PMS thing that can happen. And it can happen sometimes as soon as young women start menstruating. And they can live with that for years. Unfortunately, the most common thing that happens is they get put on birth control, which can really wreck their hormones down the road as an adult woman, because it can really alter the way your system is supposed to monitor and regulate your hormones. So it can be a temporary fix, but it's not a good long-term solution for the hormones. But a lot of times it's the whole thing, you can't fix PMS, you just got to deal with it and deal with the symptoms, right? But there's many reasons and many things you can do to deal with that. It's just a matter of doing those right things. And sometimes these things, the menopause type things, sometimes that kicks in as early as the 40s for some women. And if their hormones aren't in good shape and they've got other factors that we'll talk about, then it can be a tough time. And like I said, it can be very prolonged, which is not what you want in that time of life. But different things that occur, and this can happen even, it's more with the menopause, but you've heard of the hot flashes and the sweating and irregular skipped periods, fatigue, insomnia. A lot of mood changes can happen, right? Because you are changing the way the hormones are working in the body. Sometimes people can get like racy heart, headache kind of things, aches and pains. There's all these different things. Bladder control can be a real issue as women go through menopause. And sometimes just by balancing out the hormones, that bladder control thing can go away for women that are transitioning like that. And some of the PMS things can be as bad, if not worse. The different bloating, changes in the weight, acne, cravings, all kinds of different things happen, right? Because hormones are so powerful and they have large changes when they're out of balance. And that's one of the reasons why medical doctors and even like functional medicine, which I like a lot better than regular medicine, but they still tend to go to hormones very quickly when it comes to regulating women's cycles and this whole menopause thing. I mean, they try to be more natural and use bioidentical stuff, which is better, but hormones for me is always the last resort. I always want to try to fix the other things that are out of balance first before we go there. So there's sometimes we have to go there, but if you don't fix the other things, it'll be just another band-aid. In my opinion, for the most part. And it's really a combination, as I mentioned. It's not just one thing. It's usually dietary factors are a big part. We're going to talk about the different chemicals that are in the environment and skincare products that are a huge factor, I believe, in a lot of these hormonal dysregulation things. Stress is a huge factor. lack of physical activity, believe it or not, has a lot to do with your hormones. And food sensitivities, like I mentioned, diet. But sometimes if you're consuming a food that your body's not digesting or is not compatible with, it throws everything off in the body. And it creates more inflammation. So that's the other thing that isn't good. Typically on the diet side, a high processed food diet, which especially the younger girls in their mid-late teens, if they're living that kind of fast food diet where they're not eating a lot of whole foods, a lot of them have trouble because they're just not getting enough nutrients, and they're getting these artificial preservatives and dyes and all these other things that can also mess with your hormones. The other thing that goes with those processed foods are what they call the trans fats, right? The hydrogenated oils. Anytime you see that term hydrogenated or partially hydrogenated oils, your body just doesn't absorb those well, and they actually create more inflammation long term. But if that's the only kind of oils you're getting in the body's going to use those and try to use them. But it's usually not a good result because it creates more inflammation. That's why things like the fish oils and the nuts and seeds and flax seeds, all those things are the kind of foods that should be coming in. Too much caffeine, too much alcohol, all these things alter the hormonal balance. It's easy to get out of sync. They have found that being overweight is a risk factor for having hormonal problems. They didn't used to think that fat cells did very much other than get larger over time. But they found that these fat cells are actually little factories in themselves, and they can shift the estrogen balance a lot in the body. And so the more the weight, you can actually have excess estrogen in the body when you have excess weight. So even losing weight can actually can help the hormones straighten out some, which is pretty cool. I mentioned lack of exercise, too much stress. So there's a something called the HPA axis, right? Which I don't want to get too technical because you guys will sleep, but it's the hypothalamus, which is the control gland in your brain, the pituitary, also another one downstream, and then the adrenal glands, right? That's this major axis that controls all hormone function in the body, whether male or female. And those things require nutrients, they help balance the hormones, and stress is a huge thing that throws that axis out of balance, because when you have prolonged periods of cortisol in the blood, it changes your other hormones, and it throws that axis into more of a, what they call the fight or flight, which means you're more in a defensive mode, and you're more concerned about survival at that point than you are about reproduction, hormone regulation, healing. Those all go by the wayside when you're running from a lion, right? But it doesn't matter if you're running from a lion or your boss or your spouse or whoever it is, right? It's the same response. Mm-hmm. So in my opinion, that is one of the huge factors that has changed besides the diet dramatically in the past 50 years, is people are under just too constant of high levels of stress. And your body was not designed to stay there. It was designed to run from a lion, you get eaten, or you survive, and it's over, right? And then you recover. But we can live with stress for years at a high level, right? And it throws off that whole HPA axis. And there's ways to correct it that we'll talk about. But it is a serious problem, in my opinion. There's this other one that's more on what we call the environmental side or the chemical side. And it has to do with this whole thing, you might have heard this before, called endocrine disruptors or xenohormones. And these are chemicals and plastics and different things that mimic hormone activity in the body, so they actually block your normal hormones. And many of these things are in your everyday skincare products, hair care products, makeup. That industry is not regulated at all because their formulations are proprietary. They're protected to even tell you what's in all of those compounds and stuff. So they can put whatever they want in there. And sometimes it's chemicals that are not good for your body. And you absorb them through the skin, it goes into your blood. And when you think about doing that for 20, 30, 40 years, it starts having an effect. And when women hit that menopause time, then they start having really hard issues with getting through that time of life. So the other thing that can affect that are pesticides, right? And that's why trying to eat organic as much as possible. is always key, especially if you haven't heard of the Environmental Work Group, right? That's the EWG.org. They're a watchdog group where they tell you the worst fruits and vegetables and the best fruits and vegetables when it comes to pesticides. So I always tell people the dirty dozen, they call it, that's the worst, highest pesticide fruits and vegetables, that try to eat those organic as much as possible. You know, especially like I eat a lot of salads, berries, apples, that kind of stuff. Those are high, like top five in the list. So I always get those organic for sure. Whereas like an avocado, it's low on the list. You know, it's part of the clean 13. So I don't really care about those organic or not. But the ones that are really high, I always eat those organic, because those can also throw off that whole hormonal loop, you know, that's going to get out of whack. And then I mentioned the different cosmetics, those kind of things. There's many different things that come in there that over time will start disrupting how women function, how their hormones function. But there are some medical issues. You know, I talk in my little triangle here, there's the organ dysfunction. So if you have a thyroid problem, it's going to be hard for your hormones to work right. It throws off your entire metabolism, and it's just not going to work well. And that's one of the reasons why women have either cycle problems when they're young, or they have a hard time in menopause, because your thyroid's not working well. And the other gland, the major one, is the adrenals that I mentioned. That's the adrenal glands are on top of your kidneys. They kick into gear under stress. And when those have been beat up for many years, they have a hard time compensating. One of the things that the adrenal glands do as we age is, especially in women, as the estrogen is dropping, the adrenal glands are meant to make up for some of that difference as the estrogen drops. But if you've been stressed out for a long time and that thing's not working real good, then you have a hard time transitioning through that time of life. So sometimes when you de-stress people and you support their adrenal glands, their menopausal symptoms start going away. So sometimes it's as simple as getting de-stressed and cleaning up their system. So that's a big one too. The other thing that gets affected by that stress factor is the serotonin, right? And that's where the diet comes in too. So the intestines, your digestive tract, is the largest producer of serotonin. So if you've got a gut that's messed up and it's not working well and you're not digesting food well, you will not produce serotonin like you should. And that's the feel-good one, right? And that helps your moods be more stable and less irritated and more happy, so to speak, you know? And that's the main hormone that is regulated with the drugs, right, the antidepressants. So just cleaning up the diet and getting your gut straightened out can actually help the hormonal part because of the serotonin, the mood imbalances that happen there. And then, since I am a chiropractor, I believe the spine can have a big effect on things. So we've had times where women had cycle problems, or they had actually lost their cycle. I've had some women that had been put on birth control, like Depo shots, that when they stopped the shots, they didn't start cycling again, which, even though I know that's probably not the greatest thing that you guys look forward to every month, but it's needed for bone health and all these other things right down the road. And so she came to me, she had lots of pelvic problems and low back problems. When we got her aligned, within 2 months, her cycle started back and she was fine. So sometimes there are imbalances in the spine that can actually throw off those organs, because the reproductive organs, the nerves go to your low back in that pelvic region. So sometimes that'll make a big difference, just aligning the spine, which is pretty neat. And it can even help the cycle like be easier, you know, than it was. So those are like some of the major causes, you know, that I would look out for, some of these hormonal stuff that women experience. I mentioned medication, so typically they're going to just use synthetic hormones if you go to a regular medical doctor, and they're just not the best, right? Back in the early 2000s, they actually had this huge study on hormone therapy. They were trying to prove how wonderful it was for women and everything, and actually the exact opposite turned around. It increased the risk of stroke, increased the risk of cancer, and they actually stopped the study halfway through. That wasn't it. Because I don't know if you remember, but in the late 90s and around 2000, you used to see a fair amount of ads on TV for hormones and hormone therapy. But when that study came out, they stopped all that because they realized it wasn't that great. The bioidentical are better, and those people that use them are usually use them in combination, not just one of them. And so that can be a better approach. But again, I believe if you clean up the diet and you get people out of stress, you get them exercising, help them to lose weight, get the toxins out of their body, then things will come into balance, usually like an 85 to 90% of the time without having to use the hormones. Sometimes you will still, but most of the times you'll be able to get them back out of that. And then in the cases where someone does have a hysterectomy for whatever reason, if they're younger, then they have to use some kind of, you know, bioidentical hormones, because they went from having a good level to nothing, and they have to have hormones at that point. So there is a time for it if they've had their ovaries removed, to help them get through that tough time. So the different things. So if you're eating the junk food diet, you have to go back to what I call the whole food diet. So one of my easiest that I recommend if someone just talks to me on the street about stuff is I just refer them to the Whole 30 diet. The word whole30.com. It's a whole food diet. It's very regimented, easy to follow. Well, it's not easy to follow, but it's well documented and you can do it. It's a 30-day period. Most people feel great when they get on that. They lose weight. Their energy is better. And it basically eliminates all the grains from the diet, all sugars and junk food. And it's going back to really just a basic diet. And people feel really great on that diet. And it's just food, you know. It's not a fad thing, it's food. But it is restrictive, but people usually feel really good when they do it. That's kind of my go-to. I tailor it based on the person and their metabolic type, but that's a very good one for 95% of the people, 90% of the people. I mentioned the oils. Yeah.
What about dairy?
Dairy? Mm-hmm. I think they eliminate dairy on that.
They do eliminate dairy?
Yeah. Yeah.
We've done the whole 30 and we felt great afterwards. She actually got her period back after we did whole 30 and she hadn't had it in 9 years.
So it can be very powerful.
It's amazing.
And for some people, they can handle dairy products. I recommend, like, preferably raw organic dairy products, because commercial dairy products are just so adulterated nowadays with the hormones and all that stuff. But one of the reasons they eliminate it from that is because they want to take many food allergens out, because a lot of people are sensitive to dairy. So, and then after the 30 days, you can experiment. You know, do you want to incorporate something back? Try gluten, you know, for a few days before you add something, and just see how you respond. You know. The Whole 30, like the word whole30.com. Yeah, whole 30. Yeah, 3330. And then also increasing the good oils, right? The flax oil, the fish oils, nuts and seeds are also good sources for that kind of stuff. Avocado. And just get those hydrogenated oils out of your diet. It's just they're not meant to be in your diet. The reason those were created was to stabilize products. It was for to create long shelf life, because regular oils like olive oil and stuff, when you put them in products, they don't have a long shelf life. So they figured out a way to stabilize oils by doing that process, the hydrogenating, and it keeps the shelf life for months, right? Maybe years. But you can't do that with a real oil because it'll go rancid. Smoking, if you're smoking, stop that. Eliminate the caffeine. The weight loss, I said, is a key factor in helping regulate the hormones. And then exercise. I have people recommend at least 3 times a week for 30 minutes, preferably 5 times a week. If people are crunched for time, then the high-intensity interval training is the best, as long as your joints are good and you can handle it, because it's kind of intense exercise. But it gets really good cardio and in a short period of time. So most of the workouts are about 20 minutes. But you have to be, you know, your joints have to be in good shape, and you can't have heart problems and that kind of stuff if you're doing the high intensity. But even walking is good. So, yeah.
When you said eliminate,
so, so a cup of coffee, they usually say 1 to 2 cups of coffee in the morning is usually not a problem. It's when you start getting to multiple cups that it becomes almost like a drug, right? And then the other caffeine is soda that people like to consume, and that one I just none at all, you know, because the soda is so hard on your system with the sugar, you know. And I'm not a fan of the sugar-free ones because of the artificial sweeteners, you know. So. Yeah, so the stevia sweetened soft drinks, I'm okay with that. Yeah. Yep, those are good.
Would you recommend a specific type of coffee since coffee is high in malt levels?
Yeah, so there are several out there that are starting to pay attention to the quality of coffee, right? Like you said, with mold and pesticides.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the best on the market is called Purity. That's what I drink. It's incredible. It's not cheap, but I don't drink a lot of coffee anyways. I only drink a cup a day. But they've taken coffee to a scientific level,
yeah.
and they break it down to the best roasting time, the time of year. It's, you know, almost no mycotoxins, no mold, you know, and no pesticides, and it just tastes wonderful. I thought the coffee was my problem. It was everything else in the coffee that was causing me a problem, because I couldn't even drink a half a cup, and my heart would get racing, and I wouldn't feel good. I got the Purity coffee, and I'm like, wow. That was like, I feel good. That's like, and it tastes good, you know, because I used to drink it black. And so it was the other stuff in the coffee that was wrecking me, is what was happening.
And were you drinking organic coffee before that?
I have. So the original one was non-organic that really whacked me out. But then I tried some other organics that were better, but just not as good as the Purity.
Yeah, I recently heard about that.
Yeah.
Being careful about the drying and the mold.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And like I said, the Purity folks are scientists that are making this the best coffee you can drink. And they regulate it for the amount of antioxidants that are in it. Because there are some good properties to coffee. So
can you guess? Black green and then like the rooibos teas, which are caffeine free, are those like the step downs that are still good, at least for antioxidants?
Yes, oh yes, yes. Yeah, the other teas, the green teas, all those, the rooibos. There's one I started drinking a couple of years ago called Guayusa tea, which is Gayusa, I believe it is, Guayusa. It like has many more antioxidants than green tea, and it's about the same price, I think. I buy it loose leaf and just steep my own, but I really like that. It's
spell that again.
Yeah, I believe it's Gayusa. It's either GAU or GUA. Guayusa. It's kind of a funny name, but it's really good. It kind of tastes similar to green tea.
You said it has more antioxidants. Does that mean it contains as much or more L-theanine?
That part I'm not sure about, the L-theanine, but it, when they do the antioxidant test, you know, there's a way they do that. It's much higher than green tea. It is caffeinated. There is caffeine in that. But I don't get jittery on that either, so it's not. I actually usually feel really good when I drink that. If I'm just having a long day or something, sometimes I'll have a cup in the afternoon, and that just kind of picks me up, you know, like natural.
Would you recommend, like, somebody who already has mold toxicity just to kind of stay away from Purity all of, like, completely, since there are a little bit of mycotoxins inside of it?
They would just have to test that for themselves.
Okay.
I mean, it's really, really good in terms of the quality and the amount of the mycotoxins,
okay,
that are in the coffee. Yeah. And it depends on how bad the person is. You know what I mean? If someone's body is in a stress state because of, like, say, mold exposure that you're talking about,
mm-hmm,
then the adrenals are going to be stressed too. And coffee, even though it's good coffee, might be a little too much. You know, even the caffeine in that might be a little too much for your adrenals. That's another sign that if you drink coffee and you get kind of wigged out on it for caffeine, that may be because your adrenals are weak and they're not able to respond to the caffeine. So that's another sign that way. And the other thing with stress besides exercise is any form of relaxation therapy, right? That lowers your cortisol, your levels. Deep breathing is a great one. There's many techniques you can use that are very good to that. And then converting to skincare, hair care, personal care products that are non-toxic. And if you go to the EWG.org website, they've got an entire database of good, what are good products. And you can even, they've got a lot of products in there now, so you can actually type your product in and see how it rates on their scale. And then if you had, say, a question about an ingredient, you can type that ingredient in their database, and they'll tell you the safety record on that ingredient. So that's kind of what I use to look for good products.
They actually have an app, too, for it.
Yes, yes, the
and
UWG.
You just scan it in the store.
Yeah, yeah. It used to be called Skin Deep. They had one called Skin
yeah.
Deep for the cosmetics, and then but then they had one for the overall thing.
Thank you. They have food on the EWG now, too.
Okay, good.
And what are they? They're apps? Tell you about food or cosmetics?
Yeah.
If you, like, in your app on your phone, you can just type in EWG, and then you'll get their different apps.
Mm-hmm.
They have that. And then from a supplement standpoint, there are times when it's really beneficial to supplement with a lot of fish oil and flax oil because it decreases the inflammation and it gives you the building blocks for your hormones, right? Some women, especially young women that are having cycle problems, they're not getting enough of these good oils, and your hormones are made from oils, fats, right? That's how you're, that's why, especially this fat-free craze that was really bad years ago, it still can be a problem. If you get too low on the fat, especially for young women, they'll stop cycling or they'll have irregular cycles because they're not getting enough building blocks to make their hormones. And so sometimes it's just getting good oils in them and their cycles normalize, you know? So
and you said to supplement, but even the flax, what about it on its own? Oxidizing, because I always try to grind it fresh and then I find I don't get enough in me every day.
Correct,
I
yeah. Like so most of the oils, when it comes to going rancid or oxidizing, they do put something in there like rosemary or different things that they'll add some vitamin E, you'll see, in some of the oils to help it keep from going rancid.
Okay.
But I usually tell people to refrigerate it when they open it because it makes it last long. If it's in a liquid form. If it's in the gel caps, it'll last a long time. But
it don't last long?
It does. If it's in the gel caps.
So it helps seal it off?
Correct. Yeah, you don't have to worry about it as much. But the liquid ones, either fish oil or flax, you should refrigerate those as soon as you open them because heat is an enemy for that stuff. But they can get it in their diet with nuts and seeds and those kind of things, fish, you know, salmon is probably the highest, salmon and cod fish. Evening primrose, another good oil, especially for women because of the oils in there. It helps cycles and menopausal stuff.
What kind of oils did you say?
Evening primrose.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep, it's a specific seed that they use, and it tends to be a little bit better for the hormonal, women's hormonal things.
Can you make, like, salad dressing with that? Or?
I don't think so. It'd probably be cost prohibitive on that. But it comes in the little gel caps like a fish oil does.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
I used to take that when I was having trouble with PMS and the endometriosis, but it's probably not good for menopause, right?
Oh no, it can be helpful for menopause too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've helped hot flashes with that. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Primrose. And then just a good vitamin, multiple vitamin base. If you're not eating real good organic, then you might need a good whole food multiple vitamin. And then some of the herbs that can help regulate things. If things are out of whack, black cohosh is probably the most common one that you see on the market. If women are having cycling problems where they're irregular, chase tree a lot of times can help regulate that, help normalize the cycles. Sage is another one, more so like for the hot flashes type thing for menopause. St. John's wort is really good for the mood side, can help to help regulate, stabilize the serotonin. And the other one that's more on the menopausal side is the red clover. That tends to help more with some of the symptoms of menopausal, but if you get rid of that other stuff that I talked about, all these different factors that influence the hormones, then it will stabilize by itself over time. And then last resort, I mentioned bioidentical hormone creams. Those can be effective. One of the things that's very common now is they're putting these pellets underneath the skin. They're doing that for convenience, and it does, you know, kind of work over time. But the problem is if you don't respond well, then you got to put up with it for a while, right? I think the creams are an effective way for the most part. You can buy bioidentical tablets too, but the creams can be effective.
What about that wild yam progesterone cream we used to always see on the infomercials?
Yeah, and so if you get a clean source of those, that can be very effective, the wild yam.
When you say clean source,
you just want to make sure it's organic and
okay.
Doesn't.
Do you have any insight on the Young Living Progesterones Plus instead of wild yam?
I do not, but I know in general Young Living tries to have high quality standards.
Yeah.
So I would think they have good stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wouldn't think that would be a problem. I think I got everything. Any other questions?
What was that for your, was it Chase Tree or Chase Berry Tree?
Yeah, Chase Tree.
Okay.
I think it's the berry that they leave. Red Clover. That was more on the hormonal side.
You're
and then
those are good for menopause.
Right, and St. John's Wort was the more for serotonin. Part.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you recommend for birth control?
That's a tough one.
That's a good question.
Yeah, so there actually is no, that I'm aware of. If you talk to herbalists, they might be a little more, but it really goes back to monitoring your temperature. And that's what they used to do back in the day, right? That was the only birth control they had was regulating your temperature and watching how it spikes. Huh?
Yeah, right.
What's that?
I said, did they have like 18 kids back then?
Well, I mean, when they were trying to watch what they were doing. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, keep it between your knees.
Keep it between your knees, you have a headache.
Yeah. So yeah, there's nothing that I'm aware of.
So basically, it's the man's job on that aspect of it then.
Yeah, pretty much. But I mean, there is, if you can really get the temperature thing down, it's fairly reliable, the temperature, and they have apps now that you can actually monitor it that help you out. But natural birth control is a tough one.
And does juniper berry help with that? Because I know it doesn't help you conceive.
That I'm not sure of. Yeah, that one, I'm, like I said, natural birth control is a tough one other than...
I track my cycle.
Other than abstinence.
I'm not pregnant, but I wouldn't take my advice, but I track my cycle.
Yeah.
So. Oh, my Lord. When you just said that, I remember something I heard eons ago, somebody on the radio that was doing mission work in, I don't know, Africa or something. Men, put your ears... If you are wet as a baby, you will get something about your... I guess you're ovulating, so you have more
if you're ovulating,
flow
you're more,
and stuff.
Yeah.
And then if you're